理课堂听 class.com。
But the most dismaying thing the children learned from searching the trunk of Olaf's car was just how many disguises he had at his disposal. They found the hat Olaf used to disguise himself as a ship captain, and the razor he had probably used to shave his head in order to resemble a lab assistant. They found the expensive running shoes he had worn to disguise himself as a gym teacher, and the plastic ones he had used when he was pretending to be a detective. But the siblings also found plenty of costumes they had never seen before, and it seemed as though Olaf could keep on disguising himself forever, following the Baudelaires to location after location, always appearing with a new identity and never getting caught. "We could disguise ourselves as almost anybody," Violet said. "Look, here's a wig that makes me look like a clown, and here's one that makes me look like a judge." "I know," Klaus said, holding up a large box with several drawers. "This appears to be a makeup kit, complete with fake moustaches, fake eyebrows, and even a pair of glass eyes."
"Twitcho,"
Sunny said, holding up a long white veil.
"No, thank you," Violet said. "I already had to wear that veil once when Olaf nearly married me. I'd rather not wear it again. Besides, what would a bride be doing wandering around the hinterlands?"
"Look at this long robe," Klaus said. "It looks like something a rabbi would wear. But I don't know if Madame Lulu would believe that a rabbi would visit her in the middle of the night."
"Genorn,"
Sunny said, using her teeth to wrap a pair of sweatpants around her. The youngest Baudelaire meant something like, "All these clothes are too big for me," and she was right.
"That's even bigger than that pinstripe suit Esme bought you," Klaus said, helping his sister get disentangled. "No one would believe that a pair of sweatpants was walking around a carnival by itself."
"All these clothes are too big," Violet said. "Look at this beige coat. If I tried to disguise myself in it, I'd only look freakish."
"Freakish," Klaus said. "That's it."
"Was it?"
Sunny asked.
"Madame Lulu said that she didn't have enough freaks in the House of Freaks. If we find disguises that make us look freakish and tell Lulu that we're looking for work, she might hire us as part of the carnival."
"But what exactly do freaks do?" Violet asked.
"I read a book once about a man named John Merrick," Klaus said. "He had horrible birth defects that made him look terribly deformed. A carnival put him on display as part of a House of Freaks, and people paid money to go into a tent and look at him."
"Why would people want to look at someone with birth defects?" Violet asked. "It sounds cruel."
"It was cruel," Klaus said. "The crowd often threw things at Mr. Merrick and called him names. I'm afraid the House of Freaks isn't a very pleasant form of entertainment."
"You'd think someone would put a stop to it," Violet said. "But you'd think somebody would put a stop to Count Olaf, too, and nobody does."
"Radev,"
Sunny said with a nervous look around them. By Radev, she meant, "Somebody's going to put a stop to us if we don't disguise ourselves soon." And her siblings nodded solemnly, in agreement.
"Here's some kind of fancy shirt," Klaus said. "It's covered in ruffles and bows. And here's an enormous pair of pants with fur on the cuffs."
"Could both of us wear them at once?" Violet asked.
"Both of us?" Klaus said.
"I suppose so. If we kept on our clothes underneath so Olaf's would fit. We could each stand in one leg and tuck our other legs inside. We'd have to lean against one another as we walked, but I think it might work."
"And we could do the same thing with the shirt," Violet said. "We could each put one arm through a sleeve and keep the other tucked inside."
"But we couldn't hide one of our heads," Klaus pointed out. "And with both of our heads poking out of the top, we'd look like some sort of..."
"Two-headed person,"
Violet finished. "And a two-headed person is exactly what a House of Freaks would put on display."
"That's good thinking," Klaus said. "People won't be on the lookout for a two-headed person. But we'll need to disguise our faces, too."
"The makeup kit will take care of that," Violet said. "Mother taught me how to draw fake scars on myself when she appeared in that play about the murderer,
And here's a can of talcum powder, Klaus said. We can use this to whiten our hair.
Do you think Count Olaf will notice that these things are missing from his trunk? Violet asked.
I doubt it, Klaus said. The trunk isn't very well organized, and I don't think he's used some of these disguises for a long time. I think we can take enough to become a two-headed person without Olaf missing anything.
Bury you,
Sanny said, which meant, what about me?
These disguises are made for fully grown people, Violet said, but I'm sure we can find you something. Maybe you could fit inside one of these shoes and be a person with just a head and one foot. That's plenty freakish.
Chillish,
Sanny said, which meant something along the lines of, I'm too big to fit inside a shoe.
That's true, Klaus said. It's been a while since you were shoe-sized.
He reached inside the trunk and pulled out something short and hairy, as if he had caught a raccoon.
But this might work, he said. I think this is the fake beard Olaf wore when he was pretending to be Stefano. It's a long beard, so it might work as a short disguise.
Let's find out, Violet said, and let's find out quickly.